KSIV now presents Encounter, a public service program of Bot Radio Network, dedicated to keeping you informed about the issues that affect your life. Now, here's today's Encounter broadcast.
How did Protestant churches get their origin? One brave crusader went through great lengths, went through persecution, was called a heretic because of his boldness. This year we celebrate the 500th anniversary of the Reformation of the Church, which he founded. And he had a lasting impact on the Church by refocusing it to really realize what the gospel of Jesus Christ is all about. Who is this reformer? We're going to find out on this edition of Encounter. I'm Judy Redlich. I'm so glad you've joined me today. My guest is Dr. Lawrence Rast, president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana, and professor of American Christianity and American Lutheranism. Dr. Rast has many other accolades, but if we talk about all of his accolades, you'll never find out who this reformer was. So let me introduce him. Dr. Rast, welcome to this edition of Encounter.
Thank you so much, Judy. It's great to be with you and with your listeners.
I'm so excited about this 500th Reformation year anniversary because I think it really brings focus on the real hardships that the early church went through. Oh, you know what? We forgot to say who this reformer really is. So I guess we better start with that, huh, Dr. Rast?
Yeah, probably be a good idea.
All right. So do you want to unveil the secret?
Certainly. I would be very happy to do so and introduce everyone to Martin Luther, who was born in the year 1483, November 10th, born on, and lived until February 18th, 1546, a good long life for somebody living in the 16th century.
And Martin Luther started out his life. His father was wealthy in those days. Tell us about his early life.
Sure. He did come from a family that was moving up in the middle class. They were wealthier at certain times than others, and his father was consistently trying to better the life that he and his family had. He started out as a miner, Hans Luther did, as he was called, and later on began to operate in other ways where he would oversee mines and the like. But his great, great dream was for his children, and particularly his son Martin, who was recognized rather early on as having some significant talents, both in terms of intellectual capability, and also he was a great singer, turned out to be a very fine musician. He thought his son, Martin, might be the one who could take things to the next level, you might say. And so early on, he encouraged Martin to enter school, and by entering school and going into that process, that really was preparing him for the university. And by going through university, then that meant he would be a professional of sorts.
Right. And he wanted him to be an attorney, didn't he?
Right.
A lawyer.
And he really wanted him to study and practice law.
But something happened in Luther's life that changed the whole course of his career.
Yes, a number of things. For example, he saw a young prince one time who had taken very literally the words of Jesus, "Give away all your possessions to the poor." And the man had done so, had given up all his worldly goods. And this really struck Luther to the heart because he didn't want to give up his worldly goods, frankly, and was studying, you know, to be a lawyer and the like. And thus, when he was particularly beginning that period of study, he experienced a thunderstorm while walking on the way to the university at Erfurt in Germany. And he was terrified, expected to be killed by a lightning strike, and cried out in horror, "Help me, Saint Anne, and I will become a monk." And he believed he was delivered, and as a result, he therefore had to fulfill his vow, and thus entered the Augustinian monastery in Erfurt, Germany, and became a monk in that particular order.
And then as he studied the tenets of the Catholic Church and learned more about the wealth and the corruption that was happening in the Roman Church, what happened?
It took some time for Luther to work his way through these things. He was a good son of the church and very faithful. In fact, later on he would say, there was never a better monk than I was. He practiced his work in the monastery very, very assiduously, worked very, very hard. But over time he became increasingly concerned, particularly in 1517, when the sale of indulgences began to occur in the area where he was then living, which was Wittenberg, Germany, by this time. The man who was selling these things was named Tetzel, Johannes Tetzel, and Tetzel was selling indulgences which a person could buy either for themselves or for a member of their family. And the idea of the indulgence was, by purchasing this, you could thereby purchase forgiveness of sins. As the old saying went, when the coin in the coffer clings, the soul from purgatory springs. And Luther found this very, very troubling, and as a result, he wrote his 95 Theses and posted them on October 31st, 1517.
95 Theses. What were some of the other things on those theses that made him such a, quote, heretic?
Well, if you read them, you know, he doesn't seem all that Lutheran or Protestant to us at this point, and he really wasn't. He was still a good son of the church. But he did say two things in particular that really struck to the heart of the matter. One was, in the first thesis, he said, when we are told to do penance, or to repent, he says that's not just a process we go through by confessing and being absolved and doing works of satisfaction with a priest, but rather our whole life should be one of repentance, sorrow over sin, and turning ultimately, of course, to Christ. So that really attacked the whole system of indulgences and the whole penitential system of the church, which had become an important revenue source for Roman Catholicism in the medieval period. Then secondly, he said, the Pope claims to be the representative of Christ here on earth. They were using the language of vicar of Christ, which really means the stand-in, the substitute for Christ. So said Luther, if the Pope is the stand-in for Christ, why doesn't he act like Christ? That is to say, when Jesus was here on earth, he forgave their sins for free. Why is the Pope doing it for money? And those two things together really started off the whole process that eventually would lead to the formation of the Lutheran Church and have such a huge impact on the shape of Christianity, even down to the present time.
Saved by grace.
Exactly.
We know about being saved by grace. The churches that were Protestant churches, I think, all have the tenor because of the saved by grace concept.
Yes, they do. In fact, things were really summarized in three sayings, perhaps four, depending on who you read. But one was grace alone, the other was faith alone, and the third was scripture alone. These were all themes of Luther's, that we are saved by grace through faith, not because of any works that we do, but simply because of the works of Christ for us. We learn about this in the scripture alone. But in the end, the message of the scripture is that it is Christ alone who has won salvation for us. And that is the promise of the gospel.
And the Lutheran Church started with those premises. And then Protestant churches started with different spin-offs, but with those same premises.
Right. And there were a lot of reformers who were influenced by Luther. There was Ulrich Zwingli, who was a reformer in Switzerland. Later on, a more famous reformer even was John Calvin. He was also active in Switzerland, but had an enormous impact also on the church in the Netherlands and up into England. So there were other reformers who picked up these themes of Luther and then began to develop them and create certain emphases in their own positions.
One of the things that Luther also did is translated with his best friends, the Bible, into a language that the peasants could understand. And then the Gutenberg press, which was just invented, got the word out a lot quicker and made Bibles more available.
Exactly. In fact, Gutenberg had invented the movable type printing press somewhere around 1440, so about 40 years before Luther was born. And Luther and his co-workers took full advantage of the fact that now they could print and publish materials very cheaply and make them available very widely for folks. And most important among all of the things that Luther did in this regard, and he thought this himself, was to translate the Bible anew. There was a Latin version of it around that was the official Bible of the church. Well, he went back to the original Greek of the New Testament and the original Hebrew and Aramaic of the Old Testament, translated this in a way that was easily understandable, put it into a familiar German idiom and tongue, and then had an impact that continues to influence us today by giving us good, faithful, but also usable translations of the Bible.
He also went through much persecution because he was uncovering the corruption in the Roman Catholic Church, of wealth and various other corruptions. And he really suffered, didn't he?
He did. He spent the last 25 years of his life, from 1521 to 1546, with a death threat over his head. He was excommunicated by the Roman Catholic Church in 1520. And then in 1521, at the Diet of Worms, he was ultimately condemned by the state, the Holy Roman Empire of the German nation. And thus, he could have been captured and killed with impunity. That is to say, anybody who came upon Luther and captured him would then have been doing a good work in the sight of the church and would have been rewarded monetarily by the authorities of the time.
Wow, amazing. But God thankfully sent him. You know, behind every good man is a great woman. And he had a wife named Katie who stuck with him and was by his side and prayed for him and helped him through, didn't he?
Yeah, wonderful helpmeet, person who walked alongside of him, who served along with him. She was a marvelous, marvelous helper. And as he recognized, he could not have done what he did without the help of Katharina von Bora, as her full name was, but as he called her, My Lord Katie.
My Lord Katie. Ah, that's great. So despite all this, Luther had a lasting impact on the church by refocusing it on the gospel of Christ. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thanks so much for joining me. We're talking about the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. And my guest is Dr. Lawrence Rast, Jr. He is president of the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. Dr. Rast, let's talk now briefly about Lutheran penetration into the United States, how it got started. But let's spend most of our time talking about Southeast Missouri, can we?
Sure, we can do that. It's a long story, so I'll try and make it real short. The first Lutherans came to North America already in 1619, around the same time as the Pilgrims, but really didn't get established well until the middle part of the 1700s. And then beginning in about 1830, huge numbers of immigrants, many of whom were German Lutherans, came into the United States and began to settle in the Midwestern states, Indiana, Illinois, and so forth, and, of course, also in Missouri. And along with this bunch came this larger group of people, a group of about 650 Saxons, so people from Saxony in Germany, who made their way via New Orleans up the Mississippi River, first stopping in St. Louis, and then after a period of a month or so, purchasing some land down in Perry County, Missouri, just north of Cape Girardeau, and establishing a Lutheran colony there. They left Germany in the year 1838, and they purchased their property in Perry County in 1839 and began their operations at that time.
They also had hardships coming to Southeast Missouri, didn't they? And many of them died.
Yeah, they did. They had terrific hardships. There were many folks that were affected by the very, very difficult sea voyage. A number of people died on that. They were not accustomed to the kind of diseases that you could find in New Orleans or along the river back at that point in time. And they also had a leader who betrayed them, frankly. And that caused a lot of heartache and depression and led, I think, also to the deaths of some of these folks. So it was really, really tough leaving home, following a leader who betrayed, and then establishing themselves here in the New World.
What happened? Where did they establish? And talk to us about what's going on today.
Sure. They established themselves in Perry County, specifically today in Altenburg and Frohna. If you can go down there and visit and see some of the old buildings and the like, they established a seminary, a college, as they called it originally, in the year 1839. Today, that is Concordia Seminary in St. Louis.
Wasn't that seminary moved, the building moved to St. Louis as well?
It was moved a couple of times. In fact, they moved up from Perry County in 1849 and began operations in South St. Louis. Then in the early 1880s, they built a beautiful, beautiful structure on South Jefferson Avenue, right by Concordia Publishing House, Lutheran Hospital. One of those buildings is still standing and is used by Holy Cross Lutheran Church still today. And then in 1926, they built the wonderful campus in Clayton in the western part of the city, just west of Forest Park. So it's had a few moves itself, but they've continued to teach. They've continued to serve our church body very, very well and are an internationally recognized seminary of the Lutheran Church.
How many Lutherans are there today?
Well, it depends on how you count. And if you go worldwide Lutheranism, again, it kind of depends on who you're talking to, but somewhere around 70 million total. It's a very dynamic number. Part of the reason for that being that the Lutheran churches in Europe had a close tie to the state, so many people were simply considered a member of the church by virtue of their birth into a particular state or country. Those things are changing, and so membership and certainly participation has declined pretty significantly in Europe. In America, we have about 30, believe it or not, 30 different Lutheran church bodies operating today. Most of them are pretty small. The largest is the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, which has about 4 million members. The second largest is our Lutheran Church Missouri Synod that I serve, with about 2.1 million members. And the third largest is the Wisconsin Synod, which has about 370,000 members. Those are the three largest Lutheran church bodies in America. But the fastest growing Lutheran churches in the world today are found in Africa. And the fastest growing is in Ethiopia, where today they have over 9 million members in the Ethiopian Evangelical Makati Jesus Church, the Lutheran Church in Ethiopia.
We're talking about the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. My guest is Dr. Lawrence Rast, Jr., and he is the president of Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And Dr. Rast, there's a lot of events coming up commemorating the Reformation, which actually Martin Luther nailed the 95 Theses on the church door on October 31st, 1517, correct?
That's right, yeah, and there are events all over the country, all over the world. In fact, just by chance today, I bumped into on our campus here in Fort Wayne the bishop of the Independent Evangelical Lutheran Church in Germany, Hans-Jörg Vogt, a good friend of mine. And we were chatting about what he would be doing once he returns to Germany at the end of this month. We'll have a big service here with the president of the Missouri Synod, Matthew Harrison, preaching in Kramer Chapel on the Fort Wayne Seminary campus on Tuesday, October 31st. But there are lots and lots of other things going on just around St. Louis. St. Mark's Lutheran Church of St. Charles, Illinois, and Emmanuel Lutheran Church of Batavia, Illinois, have a joint celebration of the Gospel and Reformation planned for Sunday, October 29th. Our St. Louis Seminary plans on having an event, a recognition of the Reformation, on Tuesday, October 31st. Holy Cross in Collinsville, Illinois, has the Reformation celebration on October 29th. Everybody's getting into the act. It's like this only comes around once every 500 years. It's a great time, an exciting time to be part of the Lutheran Church.
And if you'd like to find out more information about those things, you could go to LutheranReformation.org, LutheranReformation.org. That's got a lot of other resources on it, too, doesn't it, Dr. Rast?
It does. There's a lot of good stuff. Both of the seminaries of our church in St. Louis and Fort Wayne have produced a lot of material. There are links there for that. So, you know, materials for Bible study, materials for study. Generally speaking, some sermons reflecting on the life of Martin Luther and other materials. There's just all kinds of great, great stuff that's out there to help people recognize what the Reformation is all about. And as we said in our own materials in the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, Reformation 500, it's still all about Jesus.
It's still all about Jesus. Learn more about Martin Luther's story as well. There's some documentaries on YouTube. I watched one called Cradle of the Lutheran Reformation. There are two parts to that. And also the one by Rick Steve, I really enjoyed. I mean, I just spent a lot of time learning about Martin Luther. I learned about him in church history back in grade school in my Lutheran school days. But refocusing on who he really was and what a reformer he was to be the father of the Protestant churches. Amazing.
It really is an amazing story. It is a rich story. And what's really, to me, particularly exciting about this 500th anniversary is that it gives us the opportunity to look at how God uses what are really, in a lot of ways, ordinary human beings. You know, Martin Luther wasn't a well-known person. He was teaching at a little university in an out-of-the-way town, and he simply held up the scriptures and held up what the scriptures taught, Christ. And through his faithful teaching and preaching and proclamation, the world was changed in a basic way, and we're still being affected by that today.
Dr. Rest, I really appreciate you being my guest today, and you have really shed light on so much rich heritage. Is there anything else that you would like to share in the last remaining minute or two?
Well, again, I'll just underscore some of the themes that I've touched on before, and that is, you know, with the Lutheran Reformation, it was, in some ways, you could say, humanly speaking, an accident. That is, nobody really saw it coming. It kind of burst out of nowhere and surprised the popes and surprised emperors and certainly surprised Martin Luther. To the end of his life, he always kind of wondered, how'd this happen to me? But what we see in it is how God continues to be faithful to his church. You know, when Jesus was here on earth, he made the promise, the gates of hell shall not prevail against my church. And he said to his church, I am with you always to the very end of the age. And he said to us, his people, I will not allow anyone to snatch you out of my hand. He promised that he was going to continue to take care of us and to be faithful. And what we see in the Lutheran Reformation is that Jesus keeps his promises. And what we see in the emphases of the Lutheran Reformation, that we are saved by grace alone, through faith alone, because of Christ alone, as Scripture alone teaches us, there we have a summary of what the Scriptures hold forth as God's unchanging truth. For just as the book of Hebrews says, Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And that is God's promise to us.
That is God's great promise to us. Dr. Lawrence Rest, Jr. has been my guest on this edition of Encounter. Thank you, Dr. Rest, for coming. He's president of the Concordia Theological Seminary in Fort Wayne, Indiana. And I want to remind you, LutheranReformation.org has a lot of great resources for you as you consider going to one of the Reformation services. Remember, 500th anniversary of the Reformation that was held in 1517. Now it's going to be the end of October. Well, actually, there's been celebrations going on throughout the year. But look at LutheranReformations.org for more information. I'm Judy Redlich. This is Encounter. Thanks so much for joining me. And if you've missed parts of the show or would like others to listen to this show, it will be posted on my website, judyredlich.com/radio. And again, this is Encounter, and thanks for tuning in today.
Encounter is you and the issues, where the facts and opinions make you an informed citizen of St. Louis. Thank you for your participation. Let a friend know about this talk and issues feature of Bot Radio Network and KSIV. Then join us next time for Encounter.